This is a podcast.
All right, so my name is Chelsea, and podcasts are not just for blind people. I'm actually doing this. I'm supposed to introduce it. I have my own outline. I actually didn't write it myself. I've been on the air for like 12 seconds now, and I already have my own writers, so that's pretty cool. Why am I doing this? Simply because I was told that I should, because I have an ego problem, and peer pressure works very well on me. Three words to describe myself are kind, quiet, and a liar. Let's see, I guess I should go straight into the things I hate. Now, this was actually I don't feel like I have enough time for this subject. I'm supposed to only do five things. I hate a lot of things, as do most podcasters, I understand. I've actually never listened to a podcast. So I guess I should start off with, I hate posers. And I hate those who hate themselves. No, actually, the one thing that really stuck in my mind, I actually asked to clarify this question to my writer, like, okay, so you have five things. Now, am I limited to actually physical things like basic nouns or activities, or can I talk about things that people do? And as a joke, I mentioned yo-yos, but when you think about it, yo-yos might be the stupidest things that have ever existed. Not only have they existed for a long time, like kids played with sticks, they played with dolls, and then they played with yo-yos. So in my opinion, this toy is very obsolete and is something that should die, like those shoes that we had in the 90s, like with the springs on them. You know, yo-yos are right up there with that, because they are literally just a piece of wood or plastic. What if you're at somewhere where they have souvenirs and like you don't want to buy a shirt because you don't know your size, so you buy a yo-yo with the picture of a bridge on it that no one knows about except for the people who live there, and so you tell your friends like, oh, I went to the Grand Canyon and this bridge, so I got a yo-yo there. And I'm assuming you don't actually have friends, so you're probably saying that to yourself. But anyway, back to yo-yos and why they're stupid 100% of the time. I have never gotten a yo-yo where my finger actually fit in the hole of the string. I don't know whose fingers those are set for. Either they're made for like little toothpick fingers or your full-blown like sausage fingers. Either way, I hate them. Then another thing is, I don't know about you guys, but I always had, like, every year our school would have the yo-yo, do I want to be politically incorrect? The yo-yo fags, yep. And they would come and they'd swing their yo-yos around on the stage and they'd be like, you want to be cool, kids? Don't do drugs and buy a yo-yo. And there's eight different kinds of yo-yo. There's your basic yo-yo, which is garbage. Then they have, which I fell for, and I convinced my parents to spend $9 of their hard-earned money on the Wildcat glowing yo-yo. And then there was this one that looked like a tire, which was like a trick yo-yo. And then there was like the ones that I don't even understand. And they have those little clips on them, you know, if you suck at yo-yoing, which 90% of people do because it's stupid. And the 10% of people who are good at it, congratulations, you have no applicable skills to anything. It's not like, I play the piano, so I'm going to be really good at yo-yoing. Or I yo-yo, so I'm going to be really good at piano. There's literally nothing. Literally not a single applicable skill from being good at a yo-yo. It's just as useless as being good at bowling. However, I guess with a yo-yo, you don't need to buy your own stuff because it's a one-time purchase of a string and some plastic. Yo-yos are actually so terrible. Out of the main tricks you do, you have the rock, the cradle, right? Where it's just a knot, like you create this circle of string that's you can't ever undo, and you like hit the yo-yo around, you're like, look, mom and dad, and they're like, you should be in special ed courses. And then they have the trick where you just drag the yo-yo on the ground, walking the dog, but it's really like, look, I'm really bad at this, so I should just drag it behind me and try something else, like a kite that I can also drag behind me. Actually, my yo-yo served a better purpose for me, since it was glow-in-the-dark, as a nightlight sitting on my shelf. Another stupid thing about yo-yos is, like I was saying, they've been around for a very long time. And these yo-yo fags, they come and talk to your kids, and they market to the dumbest kids, which is ages 5 to 11, and they convince them that they need this to be cool. So every kid, even the weird kids, or even the kids you thought were too poor, they end up with a yo-yo. And everyone's yo-yoing and dragging their yo-yos through the wood chips, and we're having a great time for about a week. And then if you're the kid that shows up with a yo-yo on day 8, now you're the weirdo. Like, bro, those are obsolete until next year, where we bust out our yo-yos, and you're like, oh, look at that kid with his retro yo-yo, which was really just last year's model that he hasn't touched since. And that cycle. We're going to be buying our kids yo-yos. We're going to be buying our grandkids yo-yos. I'm going to have a hovercraft wheelchair, but my dumb kid is going to be playing with a yo-yo, or my grandkid. I hope I'm not in a wheelchair when I have kids, knock on wood. I made myself sad. So I think that's all I have on yo-yos. Another thing I hate is I hate it when you're in line at anywhere. I hate being in line. But more specifically, I hate being behind people that act like they have never been outside before, let alone talk to a human being, let alone try to say what they need. And I hate the guy who's looking at the menu at McDonald's like he's staring at like unforeseen territory, like the first settler who saw the Grand Canyon is also the same guy who doesn't know if he should get a hamburger or a cheeseburger, so he asks, what is on your cheeseburger? And the employee at McDonald's is like, K, and you're just, and he's like, no, like what's on this burger? So she just leans over to the microphone and says, one hamburger, like it's the 60s, because apparently that's where I get my McDonald's. And you just have to sit there and you have to wait for them to figure out, and then they make like it on the payment on like 8 different cards. I haven't seen that at McDonald's, but I'm sure it's happening at any given McDonald's right now, assuming that they're not doing that dumb, here's a free meal if you hug me. I think that's gross. I don't think we should be hugging the people who handle our food. I think that they should go have a full body shower afterwards, because even though I'm at McDonald's, I still expect a little less Ebola than normal. Ebola, see, now I'm topically current, so that's cool. Also, the people at Subway, I also hate them, where they're like, what is that? And the guy's like, a banana pepper. And they're like, oh, let me call and ask my friend to see if they want banana peppers on this sandwich. So then they get on their phone while they're in line. And I like to imagine that that person is actually walking them through the sandwich process, like they're on Wikipedia at home going, all right, first there's bread. Now bread is the stuff on the outside of the sandwich. Everyone seems to like urban cheese. And then they sit there and they have this debate, and it's basically giving fire to man for the first time. I really feel for Prometheus, except I understand, because when I'm behind these people, I feel like I'm being tied to a rock and my innards are being eaten by vultures. So I think we get each other. Another thing I hate, well, to pick, I really hate it when people rape me with their feelings. I guess that's I'm saying a lot of buzzwords that aren't very nice. This could get me in trouble. But who am I kidding? No one's going to listen to this. But I don't like it when you're sitting there minding your own business, keeping to yourself, and not being socially outgoing. And someone comes up to you and is like, let's be friends. And I'm like already like, I have enough friends, but I acquiesce. And then they open up with something so terrible, like some terrible life event, right? And you're just like, I don't know you. Like, I don't even know how you take your Subway sandwich, and we're already getting to this level. You're taking this a little too seriously. Let's back off. And then they're like, no, I need to tell you this, and I'm going to make you feel a certain way, so that way I can feel better about it. And if you do not react in the way that I want you to feel, I'm going to tell you more stories until you're sad for me. It's basically pity, and I really don't like, I hate it when people are like, you should pity someone else. I really don't like that obligation. Like, why should I feel sorry for anyone? Like, I don't have to. I'm not saying that's not a valuable life trait. I'm saying that you should never force anyone into feeling pity for someone else, because it just makes you look sad. And I don't like being around sad people. I had more snappy things to say about this, but I made myself sad again. Yeah, I don't like being sad about things. Anyway, this is pretty terrible. But let me think of another thing I hate. I hate children. This is a blanket statement, I'm sure, but I really don't like playing charades with a baby because that's essentially what it is. Like, I'm either choking and I'm dying, or I have to poop, or I'm just doing this for no reason. I don't think it's fair. I don't think babies play by the rules. I think I should be able to sleep for a certain amount of time uninterrupted. And I don't think a baby who has literally no standing in this world, ha, pun, kind of, but they have not worked their way up the respect chain, and I don't like the idea of a little human larva telling me what to do because of, again, more emotional terrorism. Like, if you don't do this, I'm going to cry so loud right now, and you're going to want to strangle me, but that's definitely illegal and definitely not the nice thing to do. So they force you into turning into a terrible parent, and that's why all of our parents are mean, guys. We did this to them with our infantile emotional terrorism. We might as well have grown little small mustaches on our face and raised our hands straight into the air and said, do this or I'm going to put you in a chamber. But we had no actual physical way of doing that because we're made out of fat. Unlike bears, you know, bears are better because they're born with their necessities like muscle so they can actually survive, where we're just little balls of fat and we roll around and hope that people don't get rid of us. All right, well, that was a dark one. Another thing I hate, I wrote it all down, but then I decided I didn't hate those things as much as I thought I did. But I really hate shredded lettuce. I think I'm on like four things I hate now. Yeah, this is the fourth. I really hate shredded lettuce because except when I'm eating a taco, it is the only acceptable time to have shredded lettuce, in my opinion. That's why I hate Subway. Poor Subway. I love Subway, but I also hate Subway because I only like one thing that they have, and that it's definitely the sweet onion chicken teriyaki. But the lettuce, shredded lettuce belongs on a taco because shredded lettuce is soggy, shredded lettuce is wet, and I don't want that on my sandwich when you have a taco. Oh, that's a double entendre. You know, I just don't like shredded lettuce. Let's just leave it at that. Shredded cabbage, maybe, if it's mixed with the shredded lettuce, but I hate coleslaw. And I hate picnic foods. That's another thing. Picnics. I have on my little 101 and 1001 to go on a picnic, and I don't know why I decided to pick all these things that I would regret, because getting my food and then eating outside where there's bugs on the ground, not because out of survival or because I don't have a home, but because of my sheer willingness. It's just so first world. Like, I'm going to go outside and pretend that I'm in a third world country with my little basket and my little barbecue sandwich that I definitely got out of a tub and put on some Hawaiian rolls. And then I'm just going to sit here in the dirt and pretend like I'm enjoying eating on the ground in the middle of my backyard. Or at a park that's filled with homeless people and children. We already know how I feel about children. Homeless people, whatever. If I had to pick to hang out between a homeless people and a baby, the only thing that could be worse would be a homeless baby. But then again, that just sounds sad. All right, I'm just going to go. I'll maybe come up with my fifth thing later. I'm supposed to tell a Chelsea story now, which my stories is I can embellish anything and everything that happens to me because, frankly, I find people very fascinating, not to talk to, but to observe. I find most people boring, actually, once you start talking to them. But from watching, or just having things happen to me in such a... I don't really find situational humor that funny unless it involves myself, because I feel like I do attract a certain kind of tragic humor. Like, the worst thing that could ever happen to me just happened to me until I'm enforced to embrace it. And for the longest time, I think there's plenty of people who can relate to me. In a public restroom, everyone's a little shy about what they're doing there. Because it's kind of, I mean, I'm not saying that everyone should run in there and be like, hey, everyone in this bathroom, hey, lady, washing your hands, hey, lady, talking on your phone, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do something terrible to this public restroom. And I know as a lady, this probably isn't very nice to talk about, but the other day, I definitely had Chipotle because I have a Chipotle addiction, and South Park wasn't lying when they had their episodes about what Chipotle does to your digestive tract. Since it's primarily, you know, chicken, cheese, then you got your beans and rice. So you can imagine what kind of turmoil that does if you've ever eaten any of those things, you know. So it was about 30 minutes after, So, you know, after I eat it, so things are getting a little intense in my digestive tract. My small intestine is having a civil war. And we decide to go into Barnes & Noble. And a pleasant place. It was in the middle of kind of a ghetto mall in the middle of the day. So, like, oh, I'm gonna use the restroom. And it definitely smelled, just had a overall smell of urine. Like, someone had just been like, oh, I'm in the bathroom, close enough. Here's some tile, kind of like porcelain. This is going to happen here. But as I'm walking in, this lady and her small child come, like, barging in and force me to hold the door open for, like, for them. Some forced etiquette. Already know how I don't like that kind of stuff. And she's talking on speakerphone with her small child in presumably some sort of Asian language. I don't want to even try to speculate what it was because I'm not familiar with the different dialects. But anyway, she's holding this full conversation and she's helping her 3-year-old go in the bathroom. And I'm thinking, oh, great. They're going to, like, they should, like, the handicap stall is open. There's 3 stalls in there. It's the one in the very back. I'm like, they're going to go in there and everything will be fine. And I can have my issues and it should be all right. And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to hang up her phone because she's got to help her, you know, 3-year-old use the restroom. Well, instead, she takes the middle stall, and I have very bad anxiety about going into a handicap stall because I myself am not handicapped, and I would feel terrible if I exited the handicap restroom and there was a person there waiting for me when there was 8 other stalls open, which they could not access. I would just feel like such a douche, and so I'm like, great, like, I guess I'll go in the little stall, which not a problem. I fit in most bathroom stalls because I am indeed human-sized. So I'm in there and she's talking to her kid and I don't hear anything coming through the speakerphone. So I'm like, all right, like this'll do. And then she just keeps talking. And I really don't like it. Like, when people are on the phone with you and they pretend that they're not going to the bathroom, but all of a sudden there's, like, all this echoing. Like, hey, like, be real with me. Like, I get that you're human. So, like, if you gotta go in there, you go in there and you can keep me on the phone because I'm not squeamish, or you can hang up and call me back. It's cool. But even though I didn't understand her language, I just had this feeling that no one was aware, you know, that she was in the bathroom. And I'm like, well, this is happening to me. I have this system that we have developed over time, my boyfriend and I, called the threat level system. And both of us, just like every American, has some IBS. So when you're in the car and, like, I have to go to the bathroom, and, you know, most people don't like stopping, so you have to, we created a system like this. I'm at threat level this, so it goes threat level 1 through 4, and number 5, instead of saying 5, it's actually threat level midnight, which means this is happening in under 10 minutes, no matter where I am. It's completely uncontrollable. So I'm at threat level midnight, because I was trying to hold it to try to be courteous. I'm like, nah. And that's when you have one of those pep talks with yourself. Like, I can do this. Like, I'm meant to do this. This is what this is for. And you know, I start talking myself up like I'm going to run a marathon when really I'm just going to publicly humiliate this lady next to me and teach her child some things that she can't unhear. So I definitely did my business, and it got really quiet after, you know, you get going, and she just kind of left horrified. I don't think she flushed the toilet or washed her hands, so that's kind of gross. So let's just keep my gross story in perspective. Number 5 on my little podcast outline is to briefly break down zucchini pros and cons. This may sound random, but this kind of goes, how I hate yo-yos is how I feel about zucchini, but in regards to vegetables. I don't like zucchini. I think zucchini is a poser vegetable, because it looks like a cucumber, but as we all know, it is not a cucumber. So con 1, not a cucumber. Con 2 is that it looks like a cucumber, and that can trick you into buying it because you're, like, at the store, you're grabbing your green onions, you're grabbing your cauliflower. I need a cucumber because I'm making a lovely cauliflower salad, but instead I grab a zucchini. And I really don't even like cucumbers, first of all. I'm doing it because the recipe says and I want to feel fancy. I hate pickles, too. I'm not one of those people. It's like, no, I only eat my vegetables when it's soaking in vinegar for 8 years. That's when I like vegetables. Nope. I get cucumber because I want to feel like I'm an adult, and then I eat my vegetables. But instead I get a zucchini, which in my opinion is completely unedible. And if you have to like a vegetable, like if the only way you can like a vegetable is if you deep fry it and dip it in ranch dressing, I don't think it should even be considered a vegetable. So there's another con. Another one is that it's green. I don't particularly like eating green things. I do eat salad, but I do have this complex from when I was a kid that you just shouldn't eat green things. There's really no logical reasoning for that, but I don't like it because it's green. Another thing I don't like about zucchini is that it is very difficult to spell, and it's one of those autocorrect disasters that could easily say zoo bean berry sauce instead of zucchini, or it's like, I have no idea what you're saying when you're only like one C off, and any word that has two C's consecutively is retarded because there is no reason to have two C's. I remember being in kindergarten and going over all the sounds, and I don't ever remember learning kaka because nothing makes that sound, so it's stupid. It's also impossible to write in cursive. I'm one of those people where I learned that damn written language in fifth grade, and I don't care that no one can read it anymore. I was told I would use it throughout my adult life, so therefore I will. And I still don't know how to make Z's. I've looked it up. I've seen one. And it's just that weird little, how would you even describe that? It's like a half of a heart, and then it's like a little squiggle, and then it's like the shape of a little testy, and then like it shoots up, and then everyone's like look all squiggly, like in that scene in Billy Madison. That's basically how I think people should. Or is that R's? I think he writes R's. And there are absolutely no pros to zucchini, in my opinion. It's the thing I always pick out of what I'm eating because, oh, it's phallic. That's another thing I forgot. Con, it's phallic, and I'm almost a feminist, so I find it insulting. Talk about stupid people is next. And what constitutes a stupid person? I would need all day for this, but some bullet points of what make a stupid person. Number one, they don't think they're stupid. The worst kind of stupid person is an unaware stupid person who's like, no, I read this article, so therefore I'm smart. And then you realize that their article wasn't even reliable on Wikipedia, but like they wrote this article because they were like writing on a napkin, and they're like, they have this self-fulfilling idea of smartness, or they like Google how to be smart, spelled SMAHT, which I guess smart, maybe they're from Boston. That's probably an indicator of their intelligence, but poor Boston. I just think it's silly that you guys dumped all your tea into the harbor. What can I say? But so it's those people where you're talking to them and they're like, they won't even let you be right about something. They're like, no, like, listen here. Here's some stupid things. Stupid point A, stupid point B, stupid point C. And therefore, you made a semantic error, so I'm right. It's the people who don't know they're stupid. And those people also tend to post on Facebook. If you post an article on Facebook and you don't read it, but you post it anyway, think you're stupid. Flat out. You should always read what you're promoting. It's common sense. Don't do that. And that's another thing. I also think you're stupid if you don't have common sense. Like if I have to tell you, hey, you should look both ways when you cross the street, we're not going to be friends. And I guess that's really what it breaks down to. If you're a stupid person, you definitely aren't my friend. A stupid person is someone who tries to push their ideals onto you with such a fervent. It's not like a discussion. It's like, in order for me to understand you, you have to be exactly like me. This became a lot more meaningful than funny. I don't know how I feel about this. To me, I guess that's it. I am floundering. What's a tip I would give someone in life? That things are never as complicated as they seem. It sounds very simple, but I think a lot of times people get trapped or get caught up in they're great in what they consider a gray situation, instead of making a decision, they just, they're like, oh, they create this false circle, and they're like, well, if I do this, this might happen, and it becomes this justification for not doing anything. And I understand that, you know, you'll read anywhere in all these half-ass researched pieces where they're like, oh, people who believe in black and white tend to not live as long. I read that the other day, and I, from some, like, one of those books, like, ah, how to do everything, like, how to negotiate, how to brush your teeth correctly, how to trick your dentist. I don't know, I don't remember. But I do remember reading that. I just did a solid definition of what I consider a stupid person. But anyway, how I see it is I tend to be a more black and white person. But what it breaks down to is, regardless of what shade, 50 Shades of Grey, that's coming out, that's another thing that's stupid. But no matter what shade of gray you're looking at, no matter what kind of gray you think you're in, it's either more white or more black. And nothing is absolute, but I think that people get intimidated by a gray area instead of embracing the foundation or the kind of overtone of the situation. Because I don't make it wouldn't be a decision if you knew everything about what was happening. Like, clearly, if you knew the extent of each road that you were trying to pick between, it would be, you'd pick the left one because the left one involves you accomplishing your dreams, and the right one involves utter failure. So we can't see the light at the end of both tunnels. So you have to pick the tunnel that to you seems less foundationally scary, or the one that seems more foundationally sound, because if each tunnel is gray, one is more black and one is more white, and if they're exactly the same, then you should probably get your vision checked because you're looking at the same tunnel. I'm going to throw in another tip. This is a saying that my mom taught me, which has become my favorite. Unfortunately, I use it more sarcastically than I do anything else, but I'm a big fan of, your urgency is not my emergency. I use it daily. I used to use it at work all the time because it was funny. Because, you know, someone's like, oh, God, Chelsea, did you clean the lint out of the dryer? You need to do that right now because in 45 minutes I'm going to need to use it. And they're panicking because they're stupid. And it's just really fun and satisfying to look at someone and you got to say it slow. It's very important. It's a lot more humiliating if you say it slow. Look, man, your urgency is not my emergency. It's just not. And I think it's a solid thing to think of because people are constantly rushing you, or you're even rushing yourself. So you could even meta that shit and be like, I should stop rushing myself to do this and look at and not treat everything that's urgent as an emergency. That's why there's urgent care and an emergency room. So look at yourself, look at your goals. And introspection, it's the way to life. How I feel about athlete's foot. Now, I don't know what Marianne expects me to say. I don't think anyone's like, everyone should have athlete's foot. Like, let's rub our fungusy toes together and lick the floor at the gym and give each other staph infection and eat each other's toenails. Like, I guess I'm against it. You know, dogs get athlete's foot? I don't know that. It's just a fungus, so I guess it's not, like, mind-blowing. But my dog had athlete's foot, and it's really gross, but you can totally, one way to clear up athlete's foot, it's a little, like, you'll notice athlete's foot. I've never had it, but, you know, my friends, it was for a friend. You can get, athlete's foot medication can be kind of expensive, like the creams and stuff, like, I don't even know what they're called, but you can also use Vagisil. That's what my dog uses on his feet. That's really gross, but it's the truth. Now, cake versus pie. That is a valid topic worth talking about. Enunciation is key. I am definitely a pie person, and I will convince you that pie is better by using the cons of cake. Now, 90% of people eat cake because they like frosting. You don't see anyone like, oh, yeah, except for I'm kind of one of those people. It's like, no, give me the dry flour bread. Like, that's good. It kind of tastes like chocolate. Unless there's chocolate frosting, then I don't even need the cake part. If you want to eat the cake, like the breaded goodness, normal people eat donuts because they're moist and they're fried and the frosting is a little glaze and you know, but no one goes like, I'm going to go to this party for the cake and only the cake, not the frosting. I think that it's misleading that we call it cake, because really when anyone says cake, all they mean is we're going to have a big block of frosting and there's going to be the stuff stuck to the bottom that we all have to lick off. And that's why cupcakes were invented. So you could pick up a cupcake and slurp off the frosting and then leave the bottom of the cupcake for the person throwing the party as like a present. It's an ancient American culture. But pie, I guess I'm off the cons of cake, but I don't think frosting outweighs the deliciousness that is all of the pie. Because people eat pie, they come for the filling, and they come for the crust, and there's literally nothing else about pie. So you are there for the whole, for the entirety of the product, as opposed to the frost, the icing on top, if you will. So that is why pie, without a doubt, is better than cake. Now, number 10 is Dwagons. Now, Dwagons, I'm not sure if... All right, so it's this app. This is becoming far too revealing for my liking. It's this app called Dragon Veil, and it's essentially a stupid app where you raise dragons and then you get them to the ripe age of 4 and you force them to procreate until you have all of the dragons. Now, it's one of those games where the more you pay, the more gems you have. And if you have gems, you can actually do things in the game. Or otherwise, you have to work like a peasant and fill out their poo buckets filled with gold in order to buy things. I was heavily addicted for a solid 5-6 months. I recently haven't opened it since. I'm a recovering addict, which also means I definitely didn't get the January gemstone dragon, which I can't sleep at night because of it. I just made myself sad again. So I'm going to call this the sad podcast where Chelsea makes herself sad when she's not trying to be sad. So 11 is I get to talk about a choice topic. I would have put topic of choice. We could do sentence structuring. Now that would be riveting. But no, I'm actually going to talk about stupid bosses because that is my life. My life was filled with bosses who were not, will be nice and say they weren't smart in the same way I was smart. So we'll just say that my old boss's name was Schmat. I think Schmat is a good code name. Now, Schmat was an interesting fellow. I worked in an environment with students, and he was our GA, our graduate assistant, so he was basically more like a supervisor than anything else. And it was one of those things where if you've ever seen The Office and you've related to someone, no one has related more than I have, because I worked for Michael Scott. That's who I worked for. That was my deal, where they do something that you just can't help but laugh at, but because they're your immediate superior, you don't. I could pick 110 stories, but this is one of my favorites. So he's showing me his music choice because there's some downtime at work, because 90% of my job was downtime. And he really liked Nickelback, your Shine Down, and all your other Nickelback ripoffs. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't tell people this. Like, you should definitely not admit to listening to Nickelback, unless it's How Do You Remind Me, because that is literally the only good song. But he's like, no, Nickelback's really good. Like, I really love rock. And I die inside, but I'm like, oh, okay, Matt. He's like, they've taught me so much about life. And I'm like, well, that's good, you know, because I'm actually very polite on the surface. And he's like, Chelsea, like, I gotta show you this song. And I was like, you know, what's one of my pet peeves? Like, here, stare at this phone. And, like, let's pretend that you like this. Because that's really what you do when you try to show people your music. So I'm like, okay. Like, let's, and he goes, well, let me tell you about it first. I'm like, all right, like, let's talk about this Nickelback song. Then it'll make sense to me. And he goes, this song taught me what bliss meant. Like, I understand bliss now. And I'm like, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. Like, you know, elaborate. Like, I'm intrigued at this point. And he goes, well, the song is called Ignorance is Bliss. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I didn't know what bliss meant. So I went on dictionary.com and typed in the definition of bliss. And now I understand what it means. And I look at him and I'm like, I'm thinking, so you're telling me you just literally typed in the definition of a word and now you know what the word means, but it's not a deep physical meaning. Instead, I say, oh, that's really cool, Matt. You know, it's great. Like, you're learning things. And I laugh, and he just goes, what? And I'm like, nothing. Nothing. Another one of my favorite stories is where, with when it comes to, you know, working for your boss, is it's late, and before you leave, we got to mop the floor. And which is stupid because our floor is just concrete. Not even, there's not even anything on it. Like, it's not even like, there's not even like that polish or anything. But you know, when your actual boss says you guys need to mop the floor, you mop the floor. And I'm like, I've been here too long. I'm not mopping this floor. But, and then like the other girl, she's like, I'm not going to mop it. And Matt's like, oh, okay, I'll mop it. Oh, I mean, Schmat. I'm like, all right, thanks, Matt. Schmat. Like, you're a pal. So he's in the back where we can't really see him. And he's like, what, do we have any mopping products? I'm like, no, we've never mopped it before. And he goes, okay, I'm just going to mix stuff together. And so me and the girl, we keep talking. And then we realize, what do you mean just mix stuff together? And my coworker looks at me and she goes, do you think he knows not to mix ammonia and bleach? And I was like, no. So we go back there, like we run back there, and he's just holding like these two bottles, like friggin' Tom and Jerry. And he's like, I'm just gonna, and we're like, no, like I don't want to die from Mustang gas. But you know, it was one of those life lessons where no matter where you work for, you're always gonna think your boss isn't as intelligent as you are. That's just the way it is in work. And until you're your own boss, you never like your boss. And I guess I'm supposed to conclude now. I actually have, I burped. Sorry. That's why my voice cracked. I'm not a pubescent boy. I'm supposed to wrap up my podcast experience. I think my first one, I can easily say it was probably pretty boring and pretty terrible, but I did it and I said I would. So I kept a promise. I think it's very awkward that I'm sitting in my living room talking to myself. And I did it, like, I went and I hid, because I was like, I don't want to be heard, because this is embarrassing. I might totally start over and completely delete this, but I'm going to listen to it first. But yeah, I kind of had fun, though, not going to lie. I'm never going to come up with my own topics, I don't think, so I can thank my writers for that one. I have to figure out how to export this, because I am technologically incapable. I should get my own parking spot that's closer to Best Buy and other things. So this is a podcast, and now it is over.